Lord Jesus, what will you say to the church tonight? Take a coal from the fire of the altar and touch my lips. God, take that same coal and touch all our hearts, that our heart would be open and ready for what you have to say. God, for those that need comfort, be comfort tonight. Be the great comforter, the God of all comfort. For those that need encouragement, God, please be our gift of encouragement. God, for those who need rebuke, God, we want to be the wise person who hears rebuke and is better still. Whatever it is, whether it's a word of prophecy, it's a word of knowledge, whatever you want to speak to us tonight, our hearts are ready to hear. Our minds are open. Our eyes are attentive. Speak to your church, God, for your church listens. Amen. Tonight's a very pointed Bible study. It has a major theme to it. I'm going to go through it with you as we go. Drew, are you ready for me? I'll let you know when. I put some verses up there because there's a myth, there's a theme going around Christendom lately. It started in I think the 80s. If you are a Christian, if you are a good Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then your life should go smooth. Everything should be perfect. And if things are not good in your life, it must be your faith that's lacking. It must be something you've done to deserve it. For truly, everybody knows, as a Christian, once you accept Christ, everybody should be fine. Right? Anytime you are confronted with a false doctrine, it must be met with scripture that squashes it from your heart. Because too many people here, even here tonight, know God's punishing them truly for what they've done. You that have slept around, you that have done drugs, you that might be homosexual, you that who might have cheated on your taxes, you that cursed, you that looked at pornography, you that smoke cigarettes. You got what you get. God's punishing you, and you deserve it. And those are the voices you've heard. Those are the lies that you believed. And even though somebody has told you otherwise, you're sure it's the truth, because otherwise, why would you be going through this stuff? With that in mind, let's look at this chapter and see what God's word has to say about such things. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Please give me your attention. If you're new to our study, if you're new to our church, it's your first time here on a Wednesday night, we're looking at a man named Nehemiah. Nehemiah just took a 700-mile journey from Babylon to help rebuild the walls around God's city, the city of David, Jerusalem. And when he got there, he saw, what a mess. Oh, my goodness. Without any fear or doubt, undaunted by the task that was before him, he got to building these walls, and he encouraged the people, and he strengthened them, and they all got together and said, "Yes, let's do it," because it was God. Because we know from chapter 2 and chapter 1, God was in it. So truly, if God is in it, it should prosper. If we set this ministry up and we pray over these kids, God will bless it. 100 people will show up next week, for sure. If it's God, of course. Right? Because everything goes great when you're a Christian. And when God says yes, the only things bad that happened to you must be because you did something wrong. No, And I cannot stress to you enough, I cannot tell you enough times, how do I take a Holy Spirit drill and drill this into our heads? That's not true. That's name it and claim it. That's prosperity gospel. Continuing. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. That's how he said it. I was there. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Nehemiah, as only Nehemiah can, says a quick prayer after he hears the taunting, after he hears the mockery of God. He basically says to them, guys, forgive me. God, let them go to hell. He says, don't blot out their sin. Let their transgression fall upon them, which is basically saying, may they not be forgiven. Let them go to hell. Now, I don't know if that's the proper heart of a Christian or not in such circumstances. Generally speaking, the New Testament might have had a little something different of a flavor of that. But you got to understand also, the heart of a man who's given it all. Maybe you're here. Maybe you accepted Christ as your Savior, and in so doing, you lost part of your friends, you lost the vast majority of your family, you might even lost a job. And everywhere you go, since you got saved, since you dedicated your life to Christ, nothing but bad has happened to you. And for sure, it's your own fault. For sure. That's the reason some people don't come to church. Every time I go to church, man. You know how many times people have said to me, you know, Ryan, every time you pray for me, things go worse in my life. It's like, hello? Do you think I know that? That's why I don't come to church that much. I never promised you a rose garden. So what is your response to those who would curse the work of God? Well, I guess at this point in time in our Christian walk, we say, God, I hope you save them because I'm really sick of them. And if I see them again, maybe I'm going to smash his skull. And as long as I say it with a smile. No, come on. Nehemiah, he had reason to be upset. Verse 6, so we build the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem was being restored and all the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Now, at first you think to yourself, guys, but if God so confirmed that this is God, we know it's God. Look at what Nehemiah has done. Look at what Ezra done. Look at the people that are united to build a wall. For sure, they have nothing to worry about. Why are they worried? You will hear in so many circles of Christendom today, you have to have faith. If you don't have faith, then it's your fault if it goes bad. Now, maybe some of you guys grew up in a Calvary chapel and that you've never heard that doctrine, but how many of you guys have heard that doctrine? How many of you guys have been a part of that type of church? Okay, so I'm not the only one. Right. If God was in this and Nehemiah was sure it was God, then why in the world was he worried? Why did he have to appoint? Why? Why did he just laugh at them? Well, do your worst. I'm going to ask that question. I want you to think about that yourself. If you're sure God called you to move down to Florida, wherever you came from, you moved to Florida, and you thought it was the Lord, then why did you waste your time filling out a job application? God will get you the job you need. Why did you waste your time looking for a church? If God's in it, then he'll open the door. There's a great writer of Christian books. His name's Warren Wiersbe. I suggest any of his books. He's written over 100 of them. One of the things he said, a Christian's job is to pray as if everything depends upon God and to work as if everything depends upon him. And there you find the balance. Look what happens here. Then Judah said, verse 10, the strength of our laborers is failing, and there's so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, and they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Now, if you haven't understood that language, you've got the Sanballat and Tobiah. These are two scoffers. These are two men who are against the work of God. Arabs that were in that area, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, they didn't want Israel to rebuild the wall. So they said, you know what? You tell them Jews, when they're not looking, we're going to kill them. We're going to hit them from 10 different directions. Oh, we're going to get it. And then Judah, one of the tribes that's there helping build the wall, said, man, we can't get this done. There's too much garbage. We can't get the garbage out fast enough to rebuild the good wall. Isn't that the way it works? Things start going good for you, and all of a sudden you start to get them bad reports. And things were just going good with me, and now I got to get a letter from the school that my kid is messing up in school, man. Things just started going good for me. Why does that happen? I'll tell you why. Because the devil's a liar and the father of lies. That's why. That's what he does. He wants to distract you. He wants to discourage you. And he wants to dismiss you from the work of God. That's what his job is. So when you ask that question, why every time I go to church do bad things happen to me? Why every time when I get prayed over do bad things happen to me? It's the enemy. It's the enemy. It's the enemy. You that are here, you know what I'm talking about. Every time you take one step forward, it seems like you get knocked 2 steps back. Every time you rededicate yourself to the work of God, every time you decide you're going to really live for God, a job offer comes that you know is not of the Lord. A chick comes along that you know is not walking with God. A dude comes along that you, well, maybe he's Catholic. You know what I'm talking about. It's like I said before. If we would have dug a ditch to bury this child every time they told us to, how many times did they tell you, listen, don't get your hopes up? How many times? And when that baby was in the womb and you stood up here and we prayed over him and we said, this is God's child. And we were sure God was going to heal him. And then he was born and it was worse than they thought. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is horrible. What are we going to do? And as a pastor, I sit back and I go, fill those people with hope that, oh, I hate that. I hate when God don't do what I want him to do. If he just did what I want him to do all the time, things would be so much better around here. Yeah. But God. Now the blood of this child is pumping around his body with a new heart. Wow. I can't wrap that thing that doesn't work. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. And I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And I looked and I arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. This doesn't make any sense. If God is with them, why do they need spears and swords and to fight? God should just kill their enemies. I mean, certainly none of you Christians here have guns, right? None of you Christians? Because that's just a lack of faith, right? Well, you certainly didn't bring your gun into church. Did you? If you brought your gun into church, I want you right there and right there just in case, okay? If anybody rushes, take them out before they get here. Believe me, that'll be the Lord. You know why? Because it is our job to do what God has called us to do. And nobody promised smooth ride. Nobody promised there would be no trials. As a matter of fact, I chose for us tonight 7 out of probably 150 of the worst promises of God that have the best endings. Mr. Drew, number 1. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they might obtain a better resurrection. Wait a second, go back. What did that say? Wait a second. Others were what? Tortured? No, 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 no. If you have faith, you don't get tortured. I heard that. I heard a pastor on TV say that one time. His name's Joel Osteen. Smiles a lot. Like a big church, 70,000 people a week. He assured me if I just had a positive mental outlook, things would be fine. Huh? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, but that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Look at verse 38. I love this verse. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. What faith? What testimony through faith? If you're sawn in two, killed with the sword, wandering around, what faith? Oh, God knows. God knows the faith. And what if Radin would have died? Would God's promises be less any? I mean, what's to say he's not going to die tomorrow? God forbid. Is God's promises any less? Is this world maybe just not worthy of him? They did not receive the promise. God having provided something better. Something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I gotta drill this into our heads. I gotta drill into my own head, believe me. I'm part of a movement here. This movement that I'm a part of, Calvary Chapel, in the last 10 years, it's adopted some pretty crazy attitudes. When I first got saved at Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith over and over again, small church is best. Big church is not better, it's just different. Over and over again, something happened. Even in our own movement that had this past 2 years, had to split from another part of the movement. No, no, you guys are preaching prosperity. Prosperity is not the real thing. Surely, in a building this size, there should be more people here. What's the matter? Ryan, don't you have enough faith? You know what it is? You gotta calm down when you preach. You gotta be more funny. You gotta dress a little nicer. Maybe put some color in your hair or something. Smile more. Next one. Boy, this ain't a good promise. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Wait a second. God allowed me to be afflicted that I can learn his statutes? You mean I didn't know his statutes until I was afflicted? Yeah. There's a great writer named, I don't remember, who said, in order for God to use a man greatly, he must first wound him deeply. Who was that? Tozer? Is that Tozer? A.W. Tozer. Yeah. Next. Same psalm. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Who got saved, walked away from God, got his butt kicked and came back and said, you know what? Getting afflicted with you is a whole lot better than getting afflicted without you. Next. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But, as we all know, let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Is he serious? Who is this clown that wrote this? Oh, that's James, the Lord's brother. The Lord had a brother? Yeah. This is one of his younger brothers who at first wanted to actually kill him. He was probably, and I use this in conjecture, but the Bible doesn't detract from it. He was one that was pushing him to the end of the mountain. His own brothers were going to, don't listen to him, they said. He's crazy. Come on back out. Don't listen to him. I bet he went through a few trials to say, count it all joy. I almost denied my Lord because he was my brother. I almost hated God because I did not believe that my brother was the Son of God. Wow. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Let me explain to you. Let me put that into our everyday English. Here, let's make believe this is a gift from God. Let's call it trial. Now. Who wants this gift? Cancer? Anybody? Anybody catch that? A sick and dying baby. Here. No. No, nobody wants this. But it's a gift. Count it joy, because when God does something like this, he is allowing your testimony to change the lives of others. Can I think about that first? Well, yeah, you can. But the answer is still going to be the same. God knows what's in you better than you know what's in yourself. If I said to you, hey, here's what you got to go through, you go, nope, never, I will never make it. Susie and Lewis would never have made this had they known what they would have to go through for 8 months. Never. If I would have told you from the beginning, nope, sign up, somebody else, can't do it, but here you are. A little worse for wear. A little tattered, a little brokenhearted, but there you are. Manny. Nobody could have told you how hard this was going to be. And you didn't ask for it, did you? But he gave it to you anyway. He said, Manny, you're going to be better in the end. I don't know. Count it all joy. You guys have heard me say this. I've said this a lot, and I don't know why we keep bringing it up, because Tom just brought it up too. Have you ever seen John Corson? Any of you guys seen him in person? Hands. Okay, just a few of you. I'm telling you, you got to look the guy up online. Go to YouTube and look up John Corson testimony. C-O-U-R-S-O-N. J-O-N it is, not J-O-H-N. The guy had his wife killed in a car accident. His daughter killed in a car accident. Same exact place. You can go through the testimony of this guy's life, the trials that this guy's gone through. And I'm telling you, he would walk up to the pulpit and you'd think he'd be this, oh, what God has done to me. He's not. He's filled. He's counted it joy with the various. He gets up there and he's got a big smile and his voice is full of jocularity. Oh, God's plan for you. It's way cool. Like, yeah, you're too old to use that phrase. Oh, I know. telling you, he's like a Santa Claus type. I'm telling you. Am I lying? You guys that have seen him. Am I lying? You watch him and he tells his testimony and you put your hands on his. I don't hear no more. Don't tell me anymore, because there's no way it's true, because look at the smile on this guy's face. Look at the laughter. And he looks and he says, and I can't wait to see my daughter face to face again. He believes so much. He's going to hold his daughter again. He believes. You believe because you see his belief. Next. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Condescend much? I mean, perhaps the writer, the Apostle Paul, didn't understand affliction. Does he know what I go through? Does he have any clue? I mean, do you know what cauliflower ear is? Right? I've got Brussels sprout elbow, okay? Doesn't he know how tough it is? I can't put my arm down on things. Yeah, I think he knows, because he was shipwrecked. He was almost killed with stones, dragged out of the city, thought to be dead. He was beaten with cord. He was abandoned by his countrymen, lost his family. And his response to his own affliction, for our light affliction. Boy, I tell you what, heaven better be some place if that's light affliction. If that's light affliction, heaven better be amazing. And it's working for us. Working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight. So here's the implication. For everything you're going through here, A, you didn't bring it on yourself. Stop saying that to yourself. That's ridiculous. God forgives sins, he forgives sins. But God allows trials because he wants to give you a weight of glory in heaven that exceeds. Let me give you a for instance. Have you ever eaten like a really bland, no disrespect if there's any Asians in here, but you ever go to a Chinese restaurant? I love you guys. I love you Asian people. I do. But your desserts suck. They're horrible, man. A just fortune cookie is just, that's the top of the line. The ice cream in Chinese restaurants is just horrendous. That's what earth is compared. Let's say you go to an Italian restaurant and you get aganoli, tiramisu, Italian cheesecake. Come on, the names are beautiful. Listen, I don't know what you Brazilian folk do, but they like boil down sugar to like a drop of sugar in Brazil is like a pound of sugar in America. You put that, they have this little tiny treats like this, but you put it in, you go, whoa! That is the sweetest thing I've ever. I reduce sugar down to sugar. Am I lying? Am I lying? It's not against. It's a beautiful thing. You guys know how to eat treats. I was in Rio a couple of years ago, and they had this stuff called acai. And I was there, and with some of the fighters I was with, this one guy, Tony, he was fighting in 2 days, and he'd knock on my door every hour. Ryan, what you doing? Like, oh, just trying to call my wife on the phone again. You want to go get some acai? I looked at him, I said, Tony, is it possible to eat too much acai? He looked at me and he goes, let's try and find out. It's like reales? What's the money? Reales? Huh?
Hi. Just say it with an E.
Hi. Like three of them. It was like six of them. I mean, it's like $1.50 or something like that. And you get this cup of acai. Does anybody not know what acai is? I'm praying for you. It's this purple ice cream, ices. It's in Italian, we have a word for it, it's gelato.
Gelato.
And they mix granola in it. They slice up pieces of mango, slice up pieces of... Every time I was finishing one, I was walking away like, I can get another one. Why am I beating this down? Guys, this is what he's talking about. You've been eating Chinese vanilla ice cream. That's what your trial is like as compared. When you get to heaven, oh my goodness, death, no death in heaven. Crying, zero. And everything you've lost, God gives back to you better. Next. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Man, are you starting to get this yet? You know what's kind of cool? Every once in a while, you see a verse and it's completely out of the context. You pull it from the Bible and you put it up and you go, why didn't I read that before? That's what this is. This is reading these now again to me. Even while I'm reading it to you, I'm just like, man, why didn't I see it like that? The Apostle Peter, Mr. Foot in Mouth. Remember this weekend, if you were here this past Sunday, the Apostle Peter actually told the Lord Jesus to give him a bath. I mean, that's just not. Just look, 3.5 years into this thing, you figure he'd get it down. I'm going to wash your feet. You're not going to wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you're going to pardon me. Then give me a whole bath. I want to see the Lord's face. I want that on video. Shut up. Nobody pays attention to you. Except your wife who loves you. What did his face look like when he said that to him? Again, or did he just smile? My Peter. Rocky. Because Peter, if you guys didn't know this, the word Petra in Greek is the word little rock or Rocky. So he called him Rocky, not Rockhead, Rocky. Pebble, like a pebble. He wrote later on when he was sanctified, later on when he's baptized in the Spirit, later on when he was tested by fire of trials. He said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. When his glory is revealed, does anybody know what that means? When he comes back again for his own. Next. Lastly, Romans chapter 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Cole reminded me of this verse. Remember we were talking about this verse a couple weeks ago? Do you remember? Can you remember where it was, huh?
I just wrote that down before you
put that up. Yeah. Right on. So why does God allow trials to happen? Because you're wicked. Because you gave a guy the finger in traffic. Because you smoked a joint before you got here, because you what do you say?
Steve?
Oh man, why are they doing that to you, Steve? No, you know why? Because tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. That's why you're going through trials. God forgave you of your sins. He forgave you for all of them, past, present, and future. You're washed clean. Now the trials that you go for, You put your head down and go, no, I got to work with God to do. Now, who wins when you go through a trial? You can turn the lights back on, please, bro. Who wins if you go through a trial and you say to yourself, every time I get prayed over, bad things happen, so I'm not going to church. Every time I dedicate myself to the Lord, I wind up, who wins? Who wins? It ain't you. Does it make the trial any less? You feel any better? No, all you did was felt sorry for yourself. Look what these dudes did. Does anybody have any idea where I left off? Because I have no idea. 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So what happened when the enemy discouraged them? They dug in, head down, fifth round, going. So it was that from that time on, that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked on construction and the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded by his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servants stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. No, the walls were torn down in the day of Christ. You remember what the Lord Jesus said? When they went into the temple and the apostle said, do you believe these walls? And he said to him, I tell you the truth, that not one stone will be left upon another. There's a man named Titus, who was of the army of the Roman guard, that pulled that whole wall down, burnt it to the ground. Nope. Never rebuilt. They never rebuilt the temple. That's a big project. They're saying that's going to coincide with the second coming. It's the rebuilding of the temple. And then eventually the walls. Right now, you know what's there? The Dome of the Rock, they say, which is the Muslim. That's Jerusalem. Tunnels and waterways and, oh, the things that were built there that they're just discovering today.
They actually have in Israel, they have a society called the Temple Society. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you guys have been here, some of you guys have been here like yourself, Tony, and we went through we're going through the books, and we're talking about all of the furniture and the implements and all those things for the sacrifices. Almost all of them are already built. They're waiting for the temple to rebuild so they can bring this furniture and the instruments. And it's, believe me, the Jews want to build that temple bad. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. Does anybody know what feast is going on right now as of tonight for the Jews? Anybody? What did you say? Who said Purim? Good job, brother. The Feast of Purim is the show, in case you guys know, is an added bonus. This is not, no charge for this one. Is the Feast of Esther. When Esther came in to the king and said, these are my people. When a man named Laban pronounced a curse against him, and the king, Xerxes, said that you can kill Jews wherever they are. Proclaimed that any Jew was open season. You read that, or you read the book of Esther, that's what's going on now. Which, just so you guys know, happened about 10 to 12 years before what we're reading right now. Interesting, right? Anyway, like I said, that one's free. At the same time, oh yeah, lastly, close your Bible. How dedicated were these people to rebuilding something they believed was God? If God has given you, if God has birthed in you an idea and a thought to do something, to accomplish something for his will, you are not called as a Christian to go to church every week and that's it. You're called by God as a Christian to do something for the kingdom. And if hell comes against you, pick up a sword. Don't change your clothes except to wash them, because you don't know who's going to be knocking on the door. I don't know if you come from the same type of life that I come from, but there was a time where we slept in our clothes, because if we were getting busted in on, we didn't want to be in our drawers when these guys busted in. So you sleep in your clothes in case you got to wake up on the fly and get right to battle, right to business. And that's what these guys did. And they did it for God, because they believed they were called by God to build these walls. There was nothing in it for themselves. They gave of themselves to a work that they believed was the Lord. And the suffering that they put up and the people who threatened them, they didn't care. Well, if it's God, it'll happen. God will protect us. What if he doesn't protect us? Is it not God? Because some the world wasn't worthy of. Well, what if the world's not worthy? I just don't want to die. That's the thing. How could I be sure it's the work of God? Well, that's the question. And we've answered that on other occasions. How can you be sure that the work that you've been called to is of God? Well, real quick. One, did you talk to your pastor about it? Two, do you have a scripture verse to confirm it? Three, is it doing the work of God? Or is it exalting you so that people can see what you're doing? That's the question. But that's a completely different Bible study. I just wanted to throw that one in there so in case anybody had that question. But so you got the idea from tonight, guys? If you're going through a terrible trial, you don't deserve it. Is God working something out better in you? An eternal weight of glory. Don't stop the work of God. Get back in the game. Get back in the business. Pick up your sword, your spear. With one hand, do your construction. With the other hand, get ready for battle. Pray as if everything depends on God, and work as if everything depends on you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we are. Lord, at least for me, I just have a hard time wrapping my head around why these people would build a wall for a bunch of people who didn't really care. I have a hard time, God, because you know these people are so ungrateful. I don't understand why this happened and how it happened, but give me that same heart's desire to just work for you and just know that you're pleased with me, God, to just do the work of God and head down no matter what trial, tribulation, just keep moving forward, driving forward, 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 forward. God, whatever means that causes me to see you face to face, whether it's old age or a sword, as long as it's ordained by you, I want in. My brothers and sisters, if you agree with me and receive this by the power of the Holy Spirit, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.